Now we come to a new division in the book of Amos, the last division. And this is the third major division that we have. And here we have visions of the future. And that's chapter 7 through 9. And these visions are, I think, very remarkable. And they reveal the fact that though this fellow Amos could be called a clodhopper, a country preacher, he could soar to the heights. And some of the visions that the Lord gave him are quite remarkable here. Now, as we come to chapter 7, we see that first vision in the first three verses are the vision of grasshoppers or locusts, if you want to call them that. They're called grasshoppers in our translation, but they were, of course, locusts. Let me read now, beginning with verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. Now, there were two crops that could be gotten off of the land in that day, and it's true today. And the first crop went to the king as taxes. The people actually in that day paid more than one-tenth as a tithe. It's estimated they paid in all about three-tenths, about 33% of what they took from the land. And here you see an example of it. After the king had gotten his, then came in the plague of the grasshoppers or the locusts and got theirs. So there was nothing left for the people who had really done the work. Now, that is a judgment that should have shaken them and waked them up. Verse 2, it came to pass that when they had ceased eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he's small. In other words, we have been cut down to size. You have already cut us down, and now this has so weakened us, we'll not be able to stand. And he calls out to God to forgive and help them. And notice, the Lord is still patient with them. Verse 3, the Lord repented of this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. The Lord says, well, I won't do it. I'm not going to weaken you this way. So he gave them a good crop. He got rid of the grasshoppers, got rid of the locusts. Then you would think that the people would return to God, that because of his tender mercy, they'd return to him. But they did not. Notice now you have the vision of the fire. And that's in verses 4 through 6. And a great many who believe that the fire here represents actually a drought. Well, I'm perfectly willing to say a drought has to go along with it. When we have dry weather here in Southern California, why, the mountains start burning. And here on the West Coast, I don't know how many more years it'll be before we'll burn off everything that we've got out here on our mountains, to my judgment, due to the carelessness of the public today and of cigarette smokers. They say that a great deal has been started by a cigarette. But regardless of that, evidently, it's caused by a drought. But the thing that did the destroying, I think, is a literal fire, and I think he makes that clear. Verse 4, thus hath the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and did eat up a part. And now notice, then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? He's small. And again, the Lord repented of this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. And apparently he sent rain, and the fires were put out. And again God heard them. And when it says God repented, it's because of the fact of the prayers of the people. And God is tenderhearted and would not go through with it. The awful thing today, friends, in rejecting Christ and being lost eternally, is the fact that you have to do it against a God who is tender-hearted, who's gracious and loving, and He loves you. And sin against that is the awful, dreadful, terrible thing of the present hour. Now, will you notice we have here the vision of the plumb line, verses 7 through 9. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Now, you will find that used many places in the Word of God. I'm just going to lift out one today. Over in Jeremiah 31, verse 38, it says here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner, and the measuring line," or the plumb line, if you please, "shall go forth against it upon the hill Garib, and shall compass about to go at." And you're going to find that when we get to the book of Revelation. And every time that you have this vision and this one in Zechariah, that means God is getting ready to judge. In other words, he's measuring up now. Or, as it was in the book of Daniel, you've been put in the balances and you're found wanting. When God begins to measure, either in length or in weight, you can be sure of one thing: judgment is the thing that he has in mind. Now, will you notice, verse 9 says, "And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Now, in other words, God says that Jeroboam will not have peace. God's principle is, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked," and Jeroboam's not going to have peace. Now, that is the vision of the plumb line. Now we have wedged in here that little historic interlude that was very personal that introduced us to Amos. And I considered that at the very beginning. Now it fits into the story here very well. "Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall be led away captive out of their own land." Now, if you read back here, you'll find out that Amaziah lied. And to me, one of the tragic things that is in the church today is the way that you're misquoted. I try to make it as simple and as plain as I possibly can, and then I discover that people misquote and make you say something you have not said at all. Now, sometimes this is done through just not really understanding or failing to comprehend. Again, it's done deliberately. Now, Amaziah here just went in and deliberately lied about Amos. Amos did not say that Jeroboam would perish with the sword, because he didn't. He said, "And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword," which means there would come warfare. And it did come. And they were finally taken into captivity to Assyria. And then this liberal preacher, for that's what he was, this priest here of the altar of the golden calf, why, he came to Amos, and we've seen that, and he insulted him. He tried to call him an ignoramus, and I'd like to know where the books are that Amaziah wrote. We've had one preserved now for a little over 2,500 years, written by Amos. But he calls him a country rube. He told him, "Why, you're not fit to speak here in the king's chapel. We want soft words said here. We don't want to offend anybody." And as a result, Amos answered, and we've already seen that, and he did it in such a proper manner. It shows he's a moderate man. He wasn't giving out wild utterances of a prophecy monger. He was no fanatic at all. And Amos now is going to make the strongest statement that he's ever made. Now, I want you to notice that Amos is a very reserved man. He confesses. He said, I'm no prophet. I recognize that. I've never been to the seminary. And I'm not even a prophet's son. I'm from the country. I'm a country boy. I have no background whatsoever. I'm a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. But the Lord took me as I was following the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. And I think that a man should be very sure that he has a call from God if he's going to be in the ministry. If there's any doubt in his mind, he ought not to go in the ministry. I've heard it put like this, that if you can do anything else, why don't go in the ministry? Well, I don't like it quite like that, because a great many of us could have done something else, by the way, and might have preferred doing it. The important thing is, did God call you? And if God has called you, then may I say that we ought not to let anything stand in the way. Now, he gives a prophecy, and he has a prophecy for Amaziah. And I want to tell you, here is strong medicine, what he says to this man. Now, I hear a great many people say to me, Dr. McGee, you're very harsh at times on certain people or certain groups or certain churches. And I'm not really against any of these. I can truly say I carry no bias or hatred in my heart at all against any of these that I mention. I'm trying to say what the Word of God says. The argument given to me is that as a Christian, you ought to be nice and sweet. You ought not to indulge in this type of thing of giving out that which is harsh. It's love today, you know, and love, love, love. You want to listen to Amos now as he talks to Brother Amaziah? Will you listen to him? Verse 16, I'll read first of chapter 7 of Amos. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord. Now he says he has a word from God to this man Amaziah. Now will you listen to this? Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall go into captivity away from his land. Now, my friend, that is a very disturbing prophecy, and it's a very strong prophecy, and it was a true prophecy, because when Assyria came down, this is what they did with the women. They were made harlots, and the sons and daughters were destroyed, and those that were not were taken into captivity, and this old priest of Baal, of the golden calf, he was taken into Assyrian captivity. And again, we could say, I'm sure his word would have been on his deathbed that of old Cardinal Wolsey, who served Henry VIII. And if he hadn't have gotten sick and died, he would have been taken to the Tower and his head would have been taken off. But he played politics with Henry VIII and tried to, you know, not really tell him what the Word of God had to say. And as a result, on his deathbed, he could say, if I had only served my God like I served my king, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I'm sure old Amaziah could say that. If we don't give out the Word of God, those of us that are called to the ministry today, there's no reason for us to point our fingers at Washington and say that you're failing up yonder in Washington, you're a bunch of politicians, and you're jeopardizing our nation today. May I say to you, my friend of the ministry, if you're not giving out the Word of God, there is no traitor like that in this land. If you're called to be a minister, you're called to be a minister of the Word of God, and you're called to give that out. And if you're not giving that out, you are a traitor to the cause of Christ today. May I say, that's pretty strong also. I'm sure I'll get some letters on that, but what we are interested in are letters. We hope all of you will write.